Would you like to say something tonight? I know you're wanting to give your testimony.
Oh, praise the Lord. So can I sit or do I have to stand?
You have to stand with one foot on the up and one foot down.
For makeup?
As long as you talk nice enough, okay?
I think I'm loud enough.
All right. Let me just say this, that Bella was in my youth group many years ago. Over 38 years ago. I haven't seen her all those years. And then I heard she was coming to camp, and we were so happy. And it's just been a lovely reunion. And I knew her as a little girl. Now she's a woman, a grandmother. Right? It's been through. The Lord has led her. She'll tell you more about that. And, you know, we all have our own path and our own journey. But Jesus never gives up on us and never loses sight of us. I didn't know what happened. We used to call her Bessie. I don't know what happened to her over those years. I wondered sometimes. And I was praying today, Lord, you know, there's a lot of people that I've lost contact with, but you have never lost sight of them. You know exactly where they are. Here's proof. Come, Bessie.
God bless everybody. So Brother Kenny was saying, well, me and my mom, my single mom, you know, we were living in Flint, New York, and we came upon Ridgewood Church, Ridgewood Pentecostal Church. At that time, Senior Edward Walpole, who was the pastor, and Sister Kathy Daughtry was my Sunday school teacher. We were walking by one day, it was VBS, and that's I said, I want to go play with those kids. What are they doing? And then I found out it was a church, and we started attending the church. And my mother was bipolar, and at church, she was very religious, and she prayed, and everybody loved her. But she was very abusive at home. So I grew up thinking, is that really what church is about? You know, I used to be so very happy to be at church because I would get away from my situation. It wasn't very happy at home. I only had a mom, and I was a chubby little girl, you know. I was very, very isolated, you know, very shy. And as I grew up in the church, then I became a youth. I had hit pilgrim camp at 8 for the cottage. It was my first experience here. Actually, you was a nurse at that time. I remember your face. I believe it was you. Maybe it was you. Were you here a nurse? You know? You
look no, familiar. I might have been a counselor.
Maybe. I don't know your face.
I go to Ridgewood.
Maybe that's where I look around. I look around. Every day I look around, but I don't see how many familiar faces, but I do remember your face. You just got here today. But anyway, praise the Lord, continuing. So, you know. And then I went to the village, you know. My time here, I was a little girl, and when I got here, he told it to you, Brother Kenny told it. I just never fit in. I never fit in. I always felt like I was a little oddball out. You know, even though I used to try to fit in, it was just my demeanor. I don't know if it was because of abuse, neglect, but I always felt out of place, you know. Me and my mother ended up leaving Ridgewood Church when I was about 13 or 14 years old. I had gotten baptized at 13 by Pastor Wolf Vogel. It was very special to me. Because I knew I loved God. Even though those things were happening to me, I knew I loved God and I wanted to serve God. When my mother went back into the world, so you know, I struggled for years. You know, I don't want to get into too much because it's too much. But you know, I went to a Spanish church and things happened there, and then, you know, I went really into the world. I mean, I lived a lot of different lifestyles, you know. I experienced a lot of things that I don't even wish on my worst enemy, you know. Because, you know, especially as a young person, you know, sometimes the world calls you, you know, and if you're not strong in the Lord, you're going to be curious to find what's on the other side. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing over there. There's nothing there, you know. You know, I got very lost in the world, and I experienced a lot of things that maybe, and I've thought that over the years, maybe if we would have stood at Ridgewood, maybe I'd be married to somebody at the church. You know, what would have life been for me? You know, even though I made those choices because my mother gave up on God, so I gave up on God. You know, but all those years, and this is what I started crying at this time with Brother Kenny, you know, all those years, I still pray. I still talk to God. I used to still sing my hymns. I still know them, you know. And I always talk to God, and God took care of me. You know, God was so merciful to me. I mean, I could be in jail. I could be dead, you know. I mean, I've had a gun to my head more than once, you know. So even though I was in the world, God was still merciful to me. God still loved me. God still protected me. And, you know, as the years went by, obviously, you know, I had a daughter, and I followed suit with my mom, you know, single mother. You know, that type of stuff exists, you know. Now I'm a grandmother raising my daughter's daughter. But I'm a generation curse breaker. So I'm not going to let that happen to my granddaughter. You know, it's a second chance. And Jesus. It's a joy for me, you know. I went through many stages. Brother Kenny, I was a little chubby girl that was shy. Then I got into the youth, and I used to be, what, the jokester in the group, trying to make everybody laugh so I could fit in. Then I went into the world, and I tried to do everything in the world, and I never fit in. I'd sit at clubs in the back, just sitting there. I don't even know what I was doing there half the time. You know, I tried things. Those things like really do happen, you know. But then I got a chance to get my granddaughter, and about 3 years ago now, you know, I sing to her. You know, we sing hymns. You know, even though I was in the world. You know, I was still singing hymns, smoking cigarettes, singing to, you know, that's just something that was always part of. I never forgot Ridgewood, and I never forgot the Spanish church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they played a part in my life and probably my safety, if that's the right word to use, you know. But about 3 years ago, my granddaughter, and I wasn't really paying attention. This was normal. We pray for food. You know, she's sick. I say, Jesus, bless her, keep her. You know, little melodies, little choruses along the way. And she just came out and said, when we were going to a community breakfast, and she said, you know, Grandma, Bila, because she calls me Bila. She won't say abuela. She says Bila. Mm-hmm. She said, Bila, I want to serve your God. And we were walking, and it struck me like a bolt of lightning. What am I doing? I know better. You know, I know better. I was raised in the church. Those things are instilled in my heart. So I told God, you know, this was after, I mean, I don't want to get into too much, but this was after I left a lot of things alone. I didn't want to let go of my cigarettes. I liked my cigarettes. You know, and I said, God, you heard my granddaughter, you know, and I don't want to go to church with this habit, you know. To me, it was an embarrassment. The first month I started the church, I was like hiding, running home, you know, like that type of thing. I said, God, if I'm going to give my heart to you, I need you to take this away. I need you to make me want to, like I was telling Brother Kenny, I want you to make me hate these cigarettes and being around the smoke and even to vomit if, you know, if I'm near them. And 2 days later, that's just what happened. I was puking my guts out. I just threw them out, and I said, wow, that was quick. That was quick. So, you know, I let it go, and even to this day, if we're at the bus stop, I cannot be around that smell. It does something to my soul. It penetrates deep in there, and I'm thankful for that. But more than that, I'm thankful that I get an opportunity to raise my granddaughter as a Christian. I mean, if you ever meet Lena, she's in the cottage. She just loves God. She's a good little girl. It's a beautiful chance that God has given me, and I don't want to squander it. But more than that, I just wanted to share, especially to the young people, because, you know, I never made it there. I always wanted to be a volunteer and help in the kitchen and be a staff. I never got that far, you know. And I know what it is to be a young person, you know. I'm hipper than you think, you know. I'm very in tune with what's happening in this day and age. But I need to share this with you, you know. As you get older, you're going to become more curious in this world. But there's nothing this world can give you that Jesus can give you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can try, no relationship that can appease you the way that Jesus can. The way that Jesus can be there for you, help you, you know. He loves you. He loves all of us, but he loves the young people and he loves the children. So, you know, that's mostly my priority in life. I always talk to the youth, you know. Don't let this world gas you up, you know, or have you thinking things that, you know, you think is cool. What's cool is to stand out and be yourself, be a leader, be a child of God, and talk to God. Don't be shy, you know, praise the Lord. You know, I wasn't always this smiley person without teeth, you know. I used to be very loud and, you know, at times as I got old, I was very mean, you know. But I found this joy. God gave me a chance and he gave me a joy. And now I'm happy and the joy fills my soul. So, you know, just think about that, you know, that I know I'm not the only one that's lived or had family or been through some toxicity. You know, sometimes we don't like to talk about that. But, you know, it's okay to talk about those things. And not to each other, you have to, but talk to God and say, hey, help me out of this situation. He's there for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, love that will not let me go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for our sister Bella. We thank you, Lord, for never giving up on her. Lord. Lord, you don't force yourself on us, but Lord, you just continue to deal with us and watch over us and give us opportunities to surrender ourselves to you, Lord, and your will. And Lord, we thank you that you brought her to that place, that somewhere along the way that she surrendered her life to Jesus again. And Lord, you have received her and you're doing wonderful things in her life. And Lord, we pray for her granddaughter as well, and her daughter. Lord, that as she continues to seek you and serve you with all her heart, we pray that you will cause that blessing to overflow into the lives of these that she ministers to, Lord. Oh, and cause that young girl to become a real woman of God. And let the next generation serve and love Jesus. Lord, turn this whole situation around in the family, Lord.
Yes.
And Jesus, we pray that you will be king of their lives.
Yes.
Oh, bless her, Lord, we pray. While she's at camp here, we pray that you'll pour into her all that she's in need of, Lord.
Yes.
God, we pray that she will never feel alone again, that she'll always know that she belongs to Jesus and he belongs to her. And Lord, we pray that that will be her greatest joy. And increasingly, we thank you, Lord. Put your seal upon the work that you've done in our heart. Don't it ever get lost. Don't let it ever get lost. And let it continue to grow until she's all that Jesus wants her to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
I surrender all.
Let's sing it. Okay. We'll find the right key.
Praise God. That's the, well, every word in that title is important. No one can do it for you. You have to do it. Surrender. What page?
362.
And then all. If you hold back anything, the enemy will claim it. But if you surrender it all to Jesus, then he has no place in you. 362. Right. Praise God. Let's stand together while we sing. Praise God. Sing that last verse. I just want to say that Bella's story isn't unique in the sense that she's the only one that ever happened to. Over the years, I've seen young people start out well, raised in the church, maybe active at Pilgrim Camp, serving on the staff, and but not everyone follows on the way God wants them to. And a lot of it has to do with this thing that we're singing about tonight, which is surrender. God deals with us when we're here at camp. In meetings, God puts his finger on things in our life that he wants us to surrender to him. And we have a choice whether we heed that call and take advantage of the opportunity God gives us to give that to him, or whether we fight and we hold on to it. Years ago, I was talking to a young lady. We were sitting on Watch Rock. And she told me, she said, "You know, if I really follow Jesus, I'm going to have to give up my boyfriend. He's not a Christian." I was surprised that she came to that conclusion. But God must have been dealing with her. I said, "You can't expect to disobey God's word and be unequally yoked and then expect God to honor that by saving him. You got to do the right thing. If God wants you together, he'll bring you together in him. And if God doesn't, then thank God that he's spared you that." Well, she couldn't find the grace to go to do that and follow through with what she said God had shown her. She ended up getting pregnant. She ended up marrying that fella. It was a terrible marriage. They had a number of children. He got on drugs. They got a divorce, a messy divorce. And her whole life was just a mess in so many ways, because she wouldn't surrender the thing that God was dealing with her about. We don't realize how serious it is. God knows what's up ahead for us. He knows where this thing will lead us. We look at it like just a little thing. But when you get a little off course, 10 years up the road, you're way off course. And 20 years up the road, you can't even find the course anymore. And God knows that. And I've seen others that wouldn't give up certain things in their life that God was dealing with them about. And God was patient. He dealt with them over and over again. Well, they didn't take it seriously. It got the best of them in a number of cases. And like Bella said, what my life could have been like if I would have just stayed true to Jesus all along the way. Who he would have brought into my life. What I could have avoided, the heartaches that I experienced and the pain I caused others. And so I just want to impress upon all of us, because God deals with adults as adults as well. When God puts his finger on something in your life, take that seriously. Deal with God about it. If you can't give it up, then ask God, plead with him, "Lord, give me grace to surrender this to you. I can't give it up, but you know how to take it from me. And Lord, I call upon you to take this thing out of my life." And God will see your desire to please him and to honor him. And God will meet you. And God will do miracles in your life. Oh, I don't want to miss anything that God has planned for me. And that ought to be all our attitude. Lord, I don't know what you have in store for me, but I don't want to miss any of it. And Lord, these little choices that I make have a tremendous bearing on whether God's blessing continues in my life and increases, and Jesus becomes more real to me and uses me to be a blessing to others, or whether the enemy has his way and I bring pain and heartache into this world. And so as we were singing this song, "I Surrender All," I thought, maybe we should have an altar service right now. You know what God's talking to you about before you came to camp, while you're here at camp. Maybe we need to deal with God about those things tonight. And so we're going to sing this last verse, and then I just encourage you to get to your knees or however you can pray. Let's spend some time in prayer. But really deal with God. Let's really deal with God about the things in my life where I need his help. Praise God. Maybe we'll get back on our feet again after a while and do something else. But let's take time while we're right in the moment after the testimony and things we've heard, and now this call to surrender. Oh, praise God. Let's sing that last verse and then we'll give God time to work.